We're Getting Closer by Jacqueline Fedor. In the beginning, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Who was he talking to? Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16 tells us, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him, Jesus, all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him." In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, God said, "Let us make man in our likeness or image." He wasn't talking to angels, as some of the world's churches teach. He was talking to his Son that he brought all things into being through. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. See who we are when restored.'" Now, when you read Psalm chapter 8, verses 4 and 5, it says we were created a little lower than the angels. Psalm chapter 8, verses 4 and 5. "What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor." If we were created in the likeness of God and his Son, someone is really confused. God is not an angel. If you look at the word angel as interpreted in that scripture in the Strong's Concordance, however, you will see it means Elohim. Now this makes more sense and is in sync with Psalm chapter 82, verse 6. Psalm chapter 82, verse 6. "I said, 'You are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High, not angels.'" 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. "But we all, with unveiled face, the veil of deception removed, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, not an angel, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." Now we know better. We are not lower than angels. And another false doctrine is exposed by truth. The truth on the matter is, it was simply covered up for whatever reason, because the Blue Letter Study Bible admitted it was not translated as angel in the early translations. It was translated correctly as Elohim in the early Hebrew Bible. See commentary below. Blue Letter Study Bible, Psalm chapter 8, verse 5, Hebrew, Elohim, God. Jewish tradition, Septuagint, Syriac, Targum translate as angels. In other words, Psalm chapter 8, verse 5, in the early Hebrew Bible, it was originally Elohim, God. Because of Jewish tradition, when the scripture was translated from Hebrew to Greek and Arabic, the Septuagint, Syriac, and Targum, it was changed and translated as angels. What difference does this all make? To understand who and what we are, we must untangle Satan's warped knowledge from truth, or we will never grow to his image or nature to inherit the promises made to God's children. Remember what it said in Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27 through 29. "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Galatians chapter 4, verse 1 reveals why we may have not received our inheritances yet. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all. And as long as we are ignorant, Satan will keep right on bringing defeat into our lives. You see, not only are we Elohim, we are not a child in the sense used above either. If you look up the word child as used in that scripture in the Strong's Dictionary, you will see it means infant, one who doesn't speak. Well, we speak plenty. We are putting truth out as fast as the Lord shows it to us, and those that read it and discuss it with others are speaking it on the wind, according to Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 9. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 9. Also he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, those dead in sin and ignorance, that they may live. When we speak to friends and family, our breath is sending truth out to the wind. As we preach, teach, praise, and pray, the truth is going out on the wind. We are Elohim, God's children that speak God's truth. We are on our way to being in the image of Christ. With God's knowledge and wisdom on our minds and added to our database, and Father's law written on our hearts and minds as well, our perspectives, traits, and mindsets change, and we begin to bear the fruit listed in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23 in our daily lives. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Now we are making real progress towards becoming God's manifested children, a different kind, His new species. Psalm chapter 102, verse 18 prophesied this into being. This will be written for the generation to come, that a people yet to be created, not Adam's race, a newly created species, may praise the Lord. As the earth was sung into being, so the new earth will be restored also by the song of the new species. Through this new generation, the lies and false doctrines taught to man will be exposed also. As the Holy Spirit exposed the truth concerning the brazen serpent, for instance, a giant step forward towards our restoration was made. It became much easier to bear the fruit of the Spirit in our spirit, and our nature therefore began to radically change. As we also begin to understand the knowledge Eve chose is what this world's infrastructure is formed through, we lose confidence in the world, its systems, and for sure, its higher learning. We begin to understand the fallacy of even trying to solve the world's problems. For one thing, this world belongs to Satan and is no part of God's kingdom at all. So, it is destined to be destroyed as God's kingdom manifests earth anyhow. Not much sense in building a wonderful lifestyle if this is the predestined plan of our sovereign God, is there? So, if Satan's anointing and evil influence is covering and tainting everything and everyone in the world, there is not much sense in being angry at people for their ugly actions either. They are simply puppets and innocently don't even know it. So our feelings towards them begin to change as well. Our anger is directed at the correct being, the true cause of all our problems, Satan. As the world continues fighting one another, trying to solve their own problems, we have learned to rest in God. Now we really change. We stop striving, pushing, trying to make things happen for us personally, and start to see the bigger picture, the restoration of all creation. As we continue to absorb His knowledge and digest the fruit of His wisdom, our minds heal from Satan's attack on Eve. The lies and false doctrines taught to Adam's descendants, which has resulted in mankind's twisted outlook on life in general, will be exposed and replaced by truth. Minds start to heal, heart conditions change, and we begin to be restored. Do you understand? This reversal of mind and heart condition must take place before the rest of our bodies are restored. In the garden, Adam and Eve gave their hearts and minds to Satan and accepted Satan's, or Lucifer's, knowledge. So again, this must be the first to be reversed. God has made it as clear and easy as possible for us to choose right from wrong and make the changes. He wrote His laws on our hearts and minds so we would all have a chance to keep His commandments, so we can prove our love for Him. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days. Seventh day, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. John chapter 14, verse 21. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Understand, the first pair's disobedience was the beginning of all evil on the earth. When Eve opened her mind to Satan's thinking, his knowledge, her heart became envious of his apparent greater knowledge and wisdom. Satan's top dog, or I must be number one attitude, influenced her, then attached itself to her heart and mind, and she gave in. With this response to Satan came death and decay for not only her and Adam, but all they had dominion over. Remember Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Here now is a portion of Scripture that further shows us what must take place before this reversal can come about, however. Isaiah 11 reveals the restoration of creation. Verses 6, 7, and 8 show all creation already restored, and what brought it into manifestation is revealed in verse 9. Let us look at the restoration of creation first. Isaiah chapter 11, verses 6 through 8. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the wean child shall put his hand in the viper's den. Now here is the key to what brings all this into being. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 9. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. No killing, no wars, no killing of animals to eat, no beheading them to mount for decoration on their wall. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord. Fresh manna, eighth-day insight, the knowledge Daniel was told to close until the end time, the contents of the seals of Revelation, as the waters cover the sea. To see these beautiful scriptures become a reality, there are things we must accomplish as the body of Christ and goals we must achieve as individuals. First of all, the house of David must be established, seen, and recognized, so the Lord can give direction for the rebuilding of His kingdom to those that come to God's mountain. The living stones that He has constructed this tabernacle from are His offices, His government, those He guides His people through. From this house, He will help kingdom-minded people to be restored to the image of Christ, to once again be in God's likeness and in sync with His will as in the beginning. Isaiah prophesied of this long ago, so we can recognize it. Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 through 4. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house, His government, shall be established on the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, Come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us His ways, and we shall walk in His paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. The end result of this training of God's people is the restoration of all creation, as seen in Romans. Romans chapter 8, verse 21. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption, or death, into the glorious liberty, freedom from Satan and his world, of the children of God. Let us change direction now and discuss why there is need for so much change. As we know from previous study, Satan was a cherub, a type of angel created by the Lord, perfect in every way, gifted and anointed and appointed to cover the entire earth and all of God's creation on it. He was equipped with musical instruments created in Him in the beginning to teach us how to praise the Lord. At His guidance, we were to live a wonderful life in the perfect will of God. He was anointed to be an ironclad guardian against anything that threatened our welfare. Instead, He decided He could rule the earth, actually fell in love with His own beauty and power, and His pride convinced Him He was able to compete with God on all levels, and He challenged Him for supremacy. Because of His iniquity, this perfectly created creature became perfectly evil, and therefore tainted absolutely everything He was to protect and cover, including humanity. Can you see how all would be lost if it was not for Yeshua's sacrifice and the Father's predestined plan for the return of our perfection and restoration? Since the Father created all things through Yeshua, He knows exactly how to restore all things too. Remember Colossians chapter 1 verse 16? Colossians chapter 1 verse 16. For by Him, Yeshua, all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him. I repeated this scripture so you could see how Luke chapter 12 verse 7 can be a reality. He intimately knows each and every one of us. He created us. So our original perfection is guaranteed. Luke chapter 12, verse 7. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. So, what can we do personally to manifest as a child of God? First and foremost, study the Word. Feast on end-time, eighth-day insight of the Scriptures. This will enable our thoughts and ways to fall into sync with God's original plan for the earth and His original perfectly designed creation. All must be in harmony in the end to be a part of the universe as Father intended. Remember, we are all a part of the whole. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10. That in the dispensation, exemption from any rule, of the fullness of the times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in Him. In the beginning of this blast, we discussed how we, the eighth-day people, are Elohim and no longer children. We are a people that want to see all creation restored, but remember, to see this brought into reality, we must first manifest as God's children, be once again in His likeness and in His image. How does this happen? We become flesh of His flesh when we partake of the bread of communion. Now, since we have eaten His flesh, as a truth rhemas to us, we become full of light and looking more and more like the Word. John chapter 1, verses 1 and 4. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Since His life is in His blood, as we drink the communion wine, His DNA becomes ours, and as our life is in our blood also, we therefore become one with Him. So now we have become flesh of the Word's flesh, and we have His stem cells, His DNA, but there is still no skeletal framework, no substance, no bone. We can't be a body without bones. So I looked up bone in the Strong's Concordance, and it explained a lot, answered many questions for me that I haven't understood. Number one, the word bone as a noun is feminine, the bride. As a pronoun, a group of words that explain or mean the same thing as the noun. Get this, self-same body. One with Him. It gets even more interesting. The word bone comes from a primitive root, meaning to bind fast, close the eyes. Remember, when Adam and Eve fell, their eyes opened, and they from that time, for the most part, saw this realm only. Well, bone goes to close the eyes, shut. Will we too be able to see both realms as did the first pair before they fell? It gets even better. It means make powerful, be great, mighty. At Daniel chapter 12, verse 7, we are told the power of the holy people is broken or shattered. As we come together as His body or as His bride, the power and authority will be returned to us. So, to be bone of His bone, we must be bound together tightly. To be the substance and power of the body, we must also be bone of His bone, making us one with Him, self-same body as Christ. When you look up the word bride in the Strong's Concordance, it means to complete, make perfect. So again, to be perfect, we must be bone of His bone. While I was looking things up in the Strong's Dictionary, I kind of sidetracked and looked up the word overcome. Now I can see why God so adamantly wants His people to assemble on Sabbath and the feasts. The word overcome means assemble selves, gather selves together into troops. Troops means soldiers, warriors. you can see the bride is a very important support to the body of Christ. Since she is bone of his bone, she has the needed strength and power to be an overcomer. She is armed with truth, so she won't be an easy target for Babylon to mislead through her lies and twisted doctrines either. As the enemy swings his sword of warped knowledge, she wields the sword of truth, enforcing Yeshua's victory over Satan's world, his works and troops, as seen at Ephesians chapter 6. In closing, these are exciting times, and we are getting closer to seeing Isaiah chapter 11 fulfilled. Truth is being carried across the earth on the wind, and those searching for God and His kingdom hear it in their spirits and are growing to the likeness of their Father. With each new truth, these come closer to being in harmony, in sync with the will of God, and the rest of creation will follow suit. No longer the descendants of Adam, we are born through Yeshua, Elohim, the children of God.